WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is positively Pittsburgh week around here, which means I need to go get a crab cake. The Maryland Lottery is sponsoring our Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday. We will be at Pappas from 12 until 3, joined by former Oriole Mike Bordick. It'll be good to catch up with Bordy, talk a little baseball with him. Also, Jim Reese from Offa Kerman off of his Triple D cameo with Guy Fieri. He'll be joining us from Offa Kerman. Also, Leonard Raskin will be with us. And John Kelly is going to join us to talk about the big road race here with our friends at Kelly. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'm headed to Breezewood and Somerset, Monroeville, through the Fort Squirrel Tunnel with Yinzinat, and we're headed over to Heinz Field, as we always are. Luke and I will be there on Sunday. This guy, I always run into him. Sometimes I ran into him. He was wearing a jersey on the field kicking our ass, but, you know, I like him better as a citizen and a foundation man. Happy holidays to you, Charlie Batch. It's not a Baltimore-Pittsburgh week if you and I aren't at it.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you. It's always good to talk to you.
Boy, times are tough. You know, I'm coming to you last. I've already had the Bouchettes and the Graves, and, you know, I've checked in with the ends up there. I watched the game. You know, we played the late game on Sunday nights. I sat around at 1 o'clock, and, you know, I saw what everybody else saw. I mean, how do you interpret where the Steelers are on the continuum right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're trending downward. I mean, I wish I had more for you, but obviously this time, this day and age right now, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. They can't run the football. They can't stop the run on defense, and they're giving up a tons of points. So it's just something that is uncharted waters that we've never seen this around here for a long time. So a lot of people just don't know how to respond at this point.
What was supposed to go right? I mean, obviously Ben was supposed to be younger and like all of that, but obviously the offensive line's not helping him out at all. Running game's not helping him out at all. Injuries, disappointments, Bush, all of that. I mean, all the way along. But what was supposed to go right? Because I spent the offseason, people were denigrating the Steelers around here. I know you find that hard to believe. And I know you might even find it harder to believe that I was like, no, I'm doing it this week. I'm like, No. We're going to Pittsburgh. I know the rat up there. I know what it feels like to come home. I know what it feels like when we beat them and we shouldn't, and they beat us when we shouldn't. And, you know, and I said for 6 months, don't be shoveling dirt on Roethlisberger. He's like Tom Brady. He's going to be a witch. He's going to play till he's 45. And I don't know. I mean, I'm looking like a fool for defending the Steelers at this point. But I do think there's some pedigree and some DNA that always used to sort of kick in around this time, right?
It is. And I think coming into this season, a lot of people thought that the defense was going to hold this team until the offense, you know, was starting to get their rhythm and getting it going. But when they had the uncertainties there with, you know, Stephon Tuitt, not really sure if he was coming back. Is it tragic loss of his brother during the offseason? That was tough. And just the end up having surgery, and he was responding a little slower than what people expected. So that created one hole there. Tyson Alualu in the middle of that defense, that was huge. But they don't have the depth on the defensive side of the ball. So expectations, again, that they were going to hold their own. We all knew the weakness coming into it. That was the Steelers' offensive line. They had a lot of young people there, a lot of retirements that happened during the offseason. So they were hoping that these young guys were going to step it up. It just didn't happen. Yeah, we knew Najee Harris was going to be a stud at the running back position. He's everything as advertised, three down back. But unfortunately, he can't do it by himself. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster early on in this season. So there are a lot of issues that are happening, but it's almost like I can't sit there, you know, and cry a river, because I'm looking at Baltimore's schedule, and Baltimore has tons of injuries, and here they are number one in the AFC. So it's just something, unfortunately, but that just is credit to the Baltimore's depth on their roster versus Pittsburgh.
Charlie Batch is here from the Steel City. We're getting ready for the game on Sunday, talking all things injuries and, you know, how that sort of mounts up. I mean, this is an 8-3 team, and I think you and I got together and y'all were smelling yourselves last year at 11-0, and it was all good. And I think even, you know, guys like you were saying 11-0, but it could easily be 8-3, 7-4. And I'm thinking, well, it's still pretty good when you get to 11-0 and your things are breaking right. This is an 8-3 team that could be 3-8. I mean, we're talking 66-yard field goals and overtimes and, you know, all sorts of miracle things that have happened to put them where they are. They don't feel 8-3 to me, but it also feels like the Parcells, your record is where you are, trying to figure out home games in January and pathways. That's all great, but there's Pittsburgh, there's Cleveland, there's Cincinnati, and oh, by the way, Cincinnati, right? I mean, everybody was anointing Cleveland, defecating upon Pittsburgh. Nobody considered Cincinnati at all, right? And they've kicked the snot out ahead of us now twice. They're the real deal, huh?
Yes, they are. And as advertised, and they left out of here earlier this season in Heinz Field after whooping Steelers' tail, feeling good about themselves. And it was almost, and then all of a sudden they lose to the Jets. And you're like, okay, are they really for real? But here they are responding back. I mean, they really crushed, and it was no competition this Sunday against the Bengals. So those are things that you look back and say, wow. And when you look at what happened last year, they were getting after the quarterback, they were creating turnovers, and they were winning ugly, but yet they were winning. This year, they're not creating turnovers, they're not getting to the quarterback, and those are, you know, issues, a formula for lack of success thereof. So when you look at and talk about, yes, there's games that you should win and games that you shouldn't, any time that you have your quarterback throw four interceptions in a game and you're still capable of winning, that lets you know, okay, you're not as bad as what you think. So that 8-3 record is a lot more respectful, because that lets me know that they're playing complete team ball right now, and they are able to compete in all facets and three phases of the game.
It really does say something that it's Tomlin Harbaugh again, right? It's Roethlisberger again. You know, we just got rid of all of the Yanda and like everything that was left over from Flacco and Ray Lewis and Suggs and Ed Reed. You know, we've been through all this. I still go over to Amici's in the back, and they got that picture of Ray with his knee on Roethlisberger, you know, getting up with the steam coming off of Heinz Field. You know, I've been in all of these matchups, and these organizations have managed, along with the Patriots, right, and a few others, Saints, some other teams that smell better 8 out of 10 years, right? And the low is a 6-10, 7-9. Retool, not rebuild. I mean, we've had that here. You've had that there. But on the other side, we both live in cities where the baseball team's fallen and they can't figure, you know, like, there's nothing going on. It's dead. Like Cleveland and Cincinnati have been at various points. For Pittsburgh, the bottom on this thing and the fan base, I mean, even what you guys did out in L.A., you take 100,000 fans with you everywhere you go. People are bought into this, but where is the turnaround? What would a non-Ben thing look like? I mean, Belichick's had to do that up in New England, and we had a really weird thing here with Flacco and Lamar for 8 weeks, right?
Yeah, the closest thing that you would have is that 2019 season when Ben Roethlisberger hurt his elbow and Mason Rudolph had to start, and that was okay. Is this possibly the quarterback of the future? He didn't finish the season. He missed some games there. Duck Hodges came in, had to play throughout the course of that season. So they truly don't know what they have behind Ben Roethlisberger at this point. They brought in Dwayne Haskins afterward, but that is something that we still are trying to figure out, on whether or not they have the quarterback of the future here. Right now, when you look at what's going on with this team, this is probably the biggest challenge that Mike Tomlin has to face. Number one, they haven't been in this situation here where you have not only the fans and the media talking bad, you have former players that are talking negatively and nationally about this team. And it's just something that really, when you have to answer these questions in a press conference, it just lets you know, number one, how young this team is, and do the players on this roster actually respect the players that came before them? The older players do, but the young ones just don't. These young guys, especially 2 years and under, all they know is COVID rules, how you deal with the media. You're talking on Zoom. They don't even know what it's like to be in front of a locker with all the media members there. They're answering questions. So it's new to those guys as well. So this has just been a challenge, but this is something that Mike Tomlin, we haven't seen this. So I think a lot of people right now are looking and eager to see how he responds to them and responds to this particular issue. And then whether or not he can get his team up to speed to play the Ravens this week, because we all know what the Ravens are bringing and bringing to Heinz Field.
Well, I mean, look, he got Ben off the boat, right? He inherited him. There's never been a decision so much to make, not even in the bad times with the motorcycle in Georgia and all that. I mean, you came in one games at the end of your career. Like, it's always been Ben, sort of like it's always been Brady, right? Like, you're like, what's the next thing? Well, you know, they took a flyer on Cam Newton last year. Now look at how this – I mean, New England – Charlie, I'm going to have to get in a car and go to New England next month. I don't want to go to Pittsburgh. I want y'all to come here for a change, right? But the Patriots have retooled quickly, and I think there is some DNA. And, you know, I'm a Tomlin guy. I mean, you played for me. You speak inside and outside the whole way. I think that you're allowed a hiccup to some degree. Look, they were trying to throw Harbaugh off the side of the boat when Flacco went south right before they drafted Lamar. I mean, we were asking questions this time of John Harbaugh, thinking he might be coaching the Packers the next year or the Titans or somewhere else. It's never come to that in Pittsburgh. But, you know, you've never gotten stung like Cincinnati, and now the Ravens come in. This is a week where chin straps go on, and I'm worried more for the Ravens this week. That, you know, I know the Steelers are downtrodden and beaten and all that, but I don't think the Ravens have the ability to blow anybody out at this point. And I think this is a tough trip. I mean, I saw them play Miami 2 weeks ago, too.
Well, we are talking about this Steelers team that we just don't know what's going to happen. Nobody expected them to tie the Lions in the manner that they did and then get blown out by the Charger, but then all of a sudden have a fourth quarter, resurgency there that they were put 27 points on between some turnover block field goals or block punts in that manner to be able to now make that game respectful. So I think this is just something that we're just really unsure as far as what they're bringing to the table. But again, this is the Ravens Steelers rivalry, and what better, I mean, I wouldn't say better, but as a player, you know, man, you put on a terrible performance, but yet as you're talked about negatively for the entire week, how do you respond? So I think everybody's eager to see how this young team respond, how Tomlin will have this team up to speed. Because if you hear the comments leaving out a lot of the locker room last week as against Cincinnati, they were all saying, well, we weren't ready for this game. And I'm like, well, you're playing a game on saying, what makes you think you weren't ready for it? So if you weren't ready against the Bengals, are you assured that you're going to be ready for the Ravens? And I think we'll all be able to answer that question at 4:25 on Sunday.
Charlie Batch, talking sense out of the Steel City. We'll be heading up there. Luke and I will be doing it. All the breaking news happens first on the WNST Tech Service. It's brought to you by Coons Ford, Security Boulevard, and Dennis will be here from 3 until 5, driving you home on Thursday, getting you there on Sunday. We have a couple extra hours to get up, eat Mr. Rooney's cookies, and listen to Stick sing Renegade. It's going to be a fun time. It's a good time up there, but this Lamar, I would call it an experiment. It's better than an experiment at this point, but and I know we've talked about it at various points through this thing, but this is where he doesn't have the offensive line, and maybe this is a good time for you to talk about Villanueva and Zeitler and some of these guys that they brought in, that 30-somethings, it's December now, right? I mean, it's where we are. Calais Campbell was out last week with a concussion situation. They bring Brandon Williams back in. I mean, they stuffed the run last week in a way that I didn't know they were capable of doing. Some of the defensive guys standing out. Offensively on the line, though, Lamar looks like he needs to get in a phone booth in the fourth quarter, and it becomes that run dart, run left, run right. This isn't the offense they designed in the offseason. They don't have the running backs. Obviously, the offensive line and Ronnie Stanley, big difference maker there. But this is what they have right now, and I do worry that they get off course. And they're in bad D&Ds all the time, Charlie. They're in 2nd-and-9, 2nd-and-11, all when they used to eat in 2nd-and-1 and 2nd-and-3. They never made it to 3rd-down 2 years ago.
That was the formula for them, and you knew with the manner of Lamar Jackson, you want, especially on defensive side of the ball, you do not want to give him a single option read, because that's when he's at his best. He's going to crush you. But also you have to respect the fact of adding an extra defender in the box because of his running ability. That's what makes him unique. So when you look at that, if they can get the 2nd-and-1 and 3rd-and-1 to 3rd-and-2s, that's his formula, and that's Baltimore's success. But so you have to figure out a way to win first down and get him in those 3rd-and-long situations to force him to beat him with his arm. That's similar, to most quarterbacks in this league, but because of Lamar Jackson's uniqueness, these are things that you have to respect. So I expect him to bounce back in a better manner that he did last week. Every quarterback goes to that little runt where you're throwing a few picks. You hopefully don't get the 4, but if you get the 4 and you're a young quarterback, sometimes the coach pulls you out. But you have to credit John Harbaugh there, because he's like, listen, you're my quarterback through and through and through. And if that answer was obviously answered a few years ago whenever Joe Flacco was possibly – when the fans wanted him to enter into a playoff game. So when that decision is made, Lamar is his guy. I fully expect Lamar to come back, and he's going to create havoc, and he's going to create problem, especially problem for this defense, especially if T.J. Watt cannot play this week.
Charlie Batch is our guest in Pittsburgh. We're getting ready for the big game. Last thing for I don't mean to be – I'm not being flippant, but did you get better as a quarterback? Did you throw the ball better in year 5, 8, 10, and was there a point where you stopped throwing the ball? I mean, I talk to a lot of quarterback people. Brian Billick is on all the time. People that train quarterbacks, you obviously played the position. There was this feeling that, like, what he was in the box at 21 or 22 was going to be what he had to be forever. He's now pushing 24, 20. He's getting old, right? And I think it's very apparent. And we didn't see that with Kyle Bowler. There's certainly players along life's highway that they were what they were. This is a kid that's gotten better. I think it's very – everyone looks at this and says he's gotten better, but not everybody gets better, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you just look on the other side, Ben Roethlisberger took people probably 8 to 9 years to respect his throwing ability, because they said all he did was run around and create plays out of the pocket. That wasn't necessarily the truth, but it just took people nationally to figure that out. As I watch Lamar, yes, he is getting better, and that comes better with reps. and then the game slows down for you. And those are things that, as the game is slowing down, you still have to add weapons around him to assure that he can attempt to throw that football down the field. They're trying to do that in Baltimore, but yet it's hard if you're a free agent receiver to say, I want to go to Baltimore, because yes, you'll get paid on the upfront, but you know your numbers aren't going to be where they are, because chances are you're probably going to get cut in year three or year four and not see the length of that contract. So that's the toughest part as it relates to attracting free agents to Baltimore. But to your point, yes, Lamar Jackson is getting better only because the game is slowing down for him mentally in the passing game.
Well, that makes accuracy better, right? When the game slows down, it gives you the ability to put the ball where you want to put it, and in synchronicity with everybody knowing where the ball's supposed to go, right?
Yeah, that's true. But you also need your receivers to help you out and be in the spot that they need to be in. And a lot of people don't see that. And it's hard to see that on a television copy because they're only focused on the internal, you know, they're probably within 10 yards that you're seeing. You don't see the all 22 package. So that's what makes it tough for everybody else to see that until they go back and watch that all 22 or coach's tape that decide whether or not the receiver was where he was supposed to be when the ball was ready to be thrown. So those are things that I kind of look back. That's just kind of taking a diver deep or a deeper dive into what these plays are designed for.
You know, back in the day when we actually talked to football players like you, we'd go in after the game and somebody went in there would say to Charlie, who's the backup or whatever, hey, dude, what's supposed to happen on that route? Like, you know, Ben got picked, but like, what happened? Oh, tight end missed an assignment. Oh, okay. Supposed to curl and hook, whatever it was. You could always, now there's no questioning or whatever, but the Odell Beckham Jr. situation, having talked to all the Cleveland people last week, we have them again next week. You know, there was a situation there where when a quarterback and the wide receiver, you have all the talent in the world, you're running the wrong route, making everybody look bad. Quarterbacks, OCs, nobody likes that, right? That's not good for anybody.
And that's the beauty of having the in-person locker room, because you can have those, once you build the trust with players, you say, hey, whose fault was that? This is off the record. You know, whose fault was it? And they can tell you, honestly, before you leave, so you can now add to your story the following week. For instance, I remember playing a preseason game in Denver, and we're in the fourth quarter. I had a young receiver, and at that point, he was supposed to either run a go route or a comeback route. He decides he's running an in route. I'm throwing the comeback route. He runs an in route, and everybody's like, where are you throwing the ball, Charlie? He's not even, the receiver, not even where it's supposed to be. And I didn't say anything. I took that one. I'm like, you want to know what? I threw a bad ball. Lo and behold, people, because of those relationships, went back and said, no, the receiver ran the wrong route. I don't even know what the hell route he was running, because he ran an in route. The only two options was a go or a comeback. So at least protected me from that perspective, that I didn't get crushed in the media the following day because people had my back to say, no, that was not the quarterback fault, even though it showed up in the stat line. But to your point, is that the people, you were able to clarify that story before you walked out of the locker room.
Well, Lamar threw four the other night, and they won. And after the game, I'm talking to Cleveland people, Pittsburgh people all week, saying to me, well, was the story the defense shutting down the team, or was the story Lamar throwing four picks? I said, story is they won, and they're 8-3. Like last week, Lamar doesn't have an interception problem, but he's had a turnover problem this month, right? And historically, sees the field well, takes good care of the ball. Even with the RPO, Charlie, I thought the ball was going to be on the ground all the time with this type of offense, just with exchanges, especially when you start bringing in Latavius Murray and Le'Veon. The guys don't even know each other. I just figure that will be a part and parcel. The ball will hit the ground. Lamar's been very responsible, but it is a symphony. And I mean, Villanueva is a great example of, like, he couldn't get on the field in Pittsburgh, right? And now we're playing left tackle with him here in a different kind of offense.
And then it varies, because you turn around, everybody was low on him last year, even though they were 11-0 and finished 12-5, 12-4. You get to that point of like, wait a minute, you know, is it really his fault? But then he is now resurrected his career but early on in the season, everybody was like, well, that's why we let Villanueva go, only because he was playing right tackle. He didn't do that in Pittsburgh. But now you move into the left tackle, he played a lot better as the season went on. I'm not saying he had Pro Bowl level where he once was, but he's playing better than what he showed against that Raiders game at right tackle early on in that year. So it's just the fact that when
look like me trying to eat with my left hand, right? I mean, literally.
Yeah. And that's what it was. But you know, you get to that point and you're like, okay, yes, Lamar is going to be to that point. He threw four picks. It's easier for you to have that conversation after a win, but it's just generally when you get to that point, man, it just, you hope that everything kind of works its way out. But ultimately, as guys buying into what Lamar is bringing, the answer to that is yes. They're winning. They're 8-3 at this point. Everything is in front of them right now because they're a number one seed. They control everything on their schedule. So I would love to be in that situation versus being 5-5-1 and now knowing that you have to win at least five of the next six. That is going to be tough to do, especially with the toughness of the Steelers' schedule.
Beating up Villanueva, he was 11-0 this time last year, and he's 8-3 this time this year, 8-2 at left tackle. So, you know, I mean, something's going right, but they're not running the ball well, you know, literally.
But the crazy part, he was part of a team that was 29th his last 2 years in Pittsburgh. They were 29th in the league rushing. Last year, they finished 32nd in the league. And, of course, it's easy to blame the offensive line and not getting it done. Well, Villanueva's gone, and the Steelers are 29th right now in the league rushing. So it wasn't completely Villanueva. So I know at some point he now has a smile on his face saying, well, I told you it wasn't me, but either way, y'all deal with those issues. So he's going to attempt to have a huge game against the Steelers this week, because of the way that he left this game or left the Steelers organization, you know he's turning around and had this one marked on a calendar as well as that one in January when they have to face, I think it's week 16, that they're facing each other again.
All right, man. Holidays, turkey, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Charlie Batch Foundation. Come on, you're doing something. What are you doing? Come on. I know you're doing
actually,
something.
Yeah. So the day was actually, we had our holiday drive. So we just started a holiday drive. We adopted over 160 families this year. So we could to collect over 8,000 unwrapped toys. This would probably take us, you know, well over, you know, close to 1,000 kids. So we get excited about, you know, what we're doing here. So this is our 15th year doing it. So as we now attempt to do our holiday drive, we go from collection to wrap toys, and then we actually deliver on Christmas Eve. So we try to be full transparency on everything that we're doing there. So we're excited this time of year. So if anybody wants to learn more about that, they can go to batchfoundation.org. But in addition to this, and I don't know how much more time you have when you get to Pittsburgh, but I would love to show you our new expansion project. So we have our clubhouse expansion. So we're adding 27,000 square feet to our existing foundation building. So we're going from 5,300 square feet to 33,000 square feet. So we're super excited about this. I'll send you over pictures as well.
No. Hold on. See, you don't know. REO Speedwagon's playing a show on Monday night in Greenburg, I think, east of the city. I was thinking of sticking around another day. So, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do in Pittsburgh on Monday? You know, other go bother Tomlin. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have friends in Pittsburgh. No one likes me there. And I'm thinking, all right, maybe Charlie Batch will take me in, show me the foundation house, man. You know, maybe
if you stay around, I have no problem with giving you a hard hat tour of our expansion project, and you see everything there. We're literally that will take our numbers.
All right, most important thing. I'll help you. I'll do anything for you. But where are we eating? Like, is there a good little bistro around the corner? You know, I want to be with the people in Pittsburgh, you know?
Well, Sunday night, yeah. Well, Sunday, well, it'll be a little difficult.
It's Monday. It'll be Monday. This is Monday.
Monday, yeah. Wherever you want to go, we can do it. You just tell me what time you're leaving. I'll make sure I have your schedule clear before it's time.
If I stay, I'm going to work on Monday morning. I got radio to do, but I would be sort of wasting the afternoon away in Pittsburgh in some way. And I've done that before over on the Strip District, and I'm too old for all that. I got to do something educational, foundational, and something gastronomical. It's something better be some good food. So think that through where you're taking me. All right.
That sounds good. I look forward to it. But if anybody wants to know more information, they can go to batchfoundation.org.
You're always doing good things, Charlie. I appreciate you. Great guest. Love the insights. Love talking football with you. And I hope to see you on Sunday. I'm coming up. I'll be Mr. Rooney's cookies by 2 o'clock. I have cookies in me. Don't worry. And I hope he brings a Sunday roast like he usually does. I appreciate that.
Sounds good. It will be there for sure.
It's the holiday season. Charlie Batch is here. You can find him out at his foundation. Find him out on Twitter. And find him probably anywhere the Steelers or anything good things are happening in Pittsburgh. Usually, not too far behind. You can find us on Friday at Pappas. I'm not taking any crab cakes. I'm not that nice to the people in Pittsburgh. I mean, like those Permanis, I don't want to be switching that out. The Maryland Lottery sponsoring our crab cake tour Friday at Pappas Restaurant. Great guest, including Mike Bordick. And then my 30th anniversary begins next week. We're going to be at the Beaumont on the 9th with Don Moeller and a whole bunch of people in Catonsville. And then on the 15th, my homeland, and pull my shirt up here, my Rofo shirt, and show everybody. This is Costas Inn. I don't wear a whole lot of black and gold around here, but I'm showing Charlie. And Costas is in Dundalk. We're going to be celebrating my 30th anniversary on the 15th. That's a Wednesday during the Christmas holiday. We're also going to be taking in some cans and some coats for some good folks around town as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.